All right, welcome everyone to the week 10 of self-care before sit-ups. This has kind of flown by. This has been an amazing program to just see how everyone is progressing and changing and how everyone is incorporating. So I'd like to just start out with some successes. And has anyone else joined us? Okay. So, Yvonne, would you like to share your successes for the week?
Sure. I'm gonna. I had fun getting out and walking 3 times this week. It didn't even feel like exercise. Gave me more energy, so that was felt much more routine, which is where I want to end up. And decided we're turning off the TV during a dinner. We normally watch the evening news, but I think that's a distraction from appreciating the food I am eating, so we were turning off the TV.
Okay. We'll have to see here. Share with me how that goes, which if you notice any differences. But fantastic. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. So what I'm going to talk today on is what type of eater you are. And there is a few different types, and I sent everyone some examples of that. And I'm just going to go right down the list and kind of just share some insight on that. The first one is the intuitive eater, and that's what we've been kind of working on, is really making the body-mind connection, working on the biological hunger, breaking away from kind of the external environment triggers such as, oh, it's noon, so I must eat now, and not really seeing if you're even hungry or not. Or, kind of eating versus if it's points or counting calories or any type of program, that we're really letting that all go and focusing on what is our bodies telling us. All right. So an example of make food choices without facing any dilemmas, ethical dilemmas, any guilt, and just honoring your hunger and being responsible and being respectful to your fullness. So, and we've been working on that. Yvonne, do you have anything to share on how that's working for you, what you found different, or always have been eating that way, or?
Oh, no.
Okay.
that's definitely where I want to end up. But it's made me aware of, I think the 6, the 7, and the 8, and respecting the fullness, and not eating just because it's time, and just kind of checking in with the hunger. I think that's important. Letting go of the guilt, that's going to take a little work, it seems like. It seems like, oh, I can really have this piece of pie and enjoy it. but I think, wow, that's really where I want to end up. And just yesterday, looking at lunch, planning my lunch, and not really even being hungry for it, and then, wondering, well, I better go ahead and eat because I don't want to get too hungry. But just that awareness, that there's more awareness of, maybe I can wait a half an hour. Maybe, maybe I should wait a little longer till I'm a little, I was very comfortable. I wasn't hungry, so.
Okay. That was a change for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And kind of talking a little bit on the pie issue and the guilt and like, oh, I can really eat this. This is, one thing, way that I work with my clients is looking at, let's just take the pie for an example. And it is food, in letting go of the judgment of good or bad, but let's just look at what the pie consists of. If it's a cherry pie, cherries is a fruit. There is some nutritional value in eating cherries. In your pie crust, there is flour in it, which has also vitamin B in the flour, which is also a nutritional supplement, a nutritional fact about it, that the body needs vitamin B. And so, you know, looking at the various aspects of the food, that there is some nutritional value. Now, is there a lot more, probably more fat from the Crisco or the lard that you use for the, yes, probably more sugar from the preservatives in the cherry pie filling? Probably. I mean, it, you know, you can always look, is this a better choice out there for a dessert than this or not? And if there's an option, then you look at it that way. What is the better choice? But I would like to just everyone pay attention to is that there is, in no matter what you eat, there is some nutritional value there. And also to look at how many calories that particular piece of pie may have. You know, it may have, depending on the size, you know, between 200 and 400 calories. But realize, too, that that is not going to have you gain a pound. Okay, we need 3,500 calories above our basal metabolic rate to gain a pound. So if we look at, and it's not like you're having pie every day and adding an extra 300, you know, this is, say, 350 additional calories per, you know, feeding on a daily basis. Then that's where the weight gain is. But to look at it as this is an occasional dessert that I love and I enjoy, and that those excess calories right at that point is not going to gain you the pounds. That it is just, you know, what it is, 200 to 350, 400, whatever it is. And to just look at it. And then also honor your hunger. So if you just, sometimes that pie is just, you just want to taste, and you just get a small slice, and it's perfect for you. And sometimes you might be a little hungrier, and so you take a bigger slice, and then that's perfect for you. So it's just, again, looking at your hunger and respecting your fullness and enjoying and tasting. Taste the pie. Taste, you know, take the bite. See how it feels next to the tongue and how it, you know, when you're chewing it and swallowing it, and just really enjoy the pleasures of the taste of the pie that you choose, and to, you know, enjoy it, because it's not like you have that all the time. Am I right, Yvonne? You don't have it all the time?
Well, we have to get rid of the rest of the pie.
And so you will have it, you know, that will be your dessert for a few days. I mean, if you have a family, the pie's not going to last long, at least in my experience. Everyone gets a slice. There might be two slices available for myself. But, and just enjoy your pie. Again, that is that all or nothing, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to, you kind of want to have it all because you might not have it again, or you eat it all so just to get it out of the house. Again, that goes back to respecting your fullness, honoring your hunger, and just knowing you can have it again for the next meal or the next night for dessert. So it's kind of, it's just, you know, what is a more comforting thought that is respectful to you? Okay. Is that helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The emotional unconscious eater would be the next type of eater, and the triggers are uncomfortable emotions. And stress or uncomfortable feelings triggering eating, especially when alone. You know, we could go back and talk about the guilt of having the pie. I think I kind of explained that a little bit. But also just recognizing that if you're not hungry and you're eating and you're stressed and what are the emotions you are feeling? And to kind of catch yourself, because the unconscious eater is just all of a sudden you're just eating. You're like, why am I eating? All of a sudden you're done. I'm like, why am I eating? I wasn't even hungry. What was this all about? And there, just ask yourself, what am I feeling? You know, what? How was my day? What could have been possibly the triggers? And, you know, recognizing that, you know, sometimes we get such strong cravings for something, and we think it's biological, but really a lot of it is emotional. psychological. And so it's, again, asking yourself questions. And you may, you know, the unconscious eater might all of a sudden be done, and then you might catch yourself and go, where did this come from? That's okay. At least ask yourself the question. At least you're asking yourself the question and becoming more aware. But answer back. See if there's an answer that comes. And that will help you to move to more unconscious to conscious. The third one is unconscious eater. Trigger eating while doing something else. Often unaware that you are eating, how much is being eaten. You know, that could be very much a television. You know, you're focused on watching the news, and you put food on your plate, and you just eat till the plate is empty, and you're not even considered, you know, if you ate too much, or, you know, that was a little more than you needed, or maybe you just automatically go for second helpings and not realize that, like, asking yourself if you're hungry or not. A lot of times people will eat in front of their computers during lunch hours, reading the newspaper while eating, a lot of doing something else. You know, watching television is an easy one as well, but I have a lot of clients that during their lunch hour will grab their food, sit at their cubicle, and just surf the net. And then you become very unconscious of actually how much you are consuming. So it's a matter of going ahead and, like you said, turn the TV off and really taste your food. It is, you know, if you're in your cubicle, to just turn the screen off the TV and just enjoy tasting your food and smelling it and just tasting, feeling it go down your throat, you know, paying attention to the taste, the texture, the color, and taking that moment of being connected to what you are doing and what you are consuming. And there you become from unconscious to conscious. And you may realize that you don't need nearly as much food as you thought you did. Or you can maybe, if you're going to the deli real quick, maybe you're getting the 16-ounce of chili. Now you don't try the 12-ounce. Because you're like, you know, once you become more conscious, that might be too much. And you never realized it. But going down to the 12-ounce. Or a smaller bowl of soup, or half a sandwich with a different vegetable rather than the whole, you know, just everyone's different. But it's becoming more conscious and putting away, you know, stopping the something else, you know, the reading the paper or surfing the net or watching the television or listening to the music, and just become more aware, more conscious. Okay? The next is a chaotic unconscious eater. These are triggered over scheduled life. Eating styles haphazard, person eats whenever food is available. This could be your, if you're on the road a lot and you're working and you do a lot of traveling, and you're trying to eat whenever you can, or there's a lot of lunch meetings where, you know, you go to a meeting and this is what's served, and you just go ahead and eat whatever's there, and you're paying attention to what's going on in the meeting, or you are, you know, going from one meeting to the other, so you're scarfing down a banana here and there or a Snicker bar here and there just to get something. Or you're overscheduled and you don't even take the time to eat. You're just kind of like, oh, don't have any time. And so you skip it, and then by the time you get home, you're ravenous. So then what happens is you just grab whatever you can, whatever's fast and easy, and well, that might be warming up in the microwave. You might be going to the cupboards and saying, what can I put in my mouth now? And so you're doing that while you're waiting for your food to get ready, either in the microwave or the stove or whatever. And so it's this very chaotic. It's just no planning whatsoever. It's like what's in front of you. What your eye sees is what it consumes. If the chips are right there, you're like opening them right up and, you know, taking a handful here while you're thinking of some, you know, looking in the freezer or the refrigerator for something else. So very haphazard. And if, you know, if you're around and you're like, you know, you might have some snacks in the drawer, at the desk, wherever you're at. You're like, okay, I don't have time. I'm going to quick grab this. And you're out, you know, eating while you're walking away to the next meeting or to the next appointment. And you are, again, going back to maybe more unconscious eating while doing something. You know, shuffling your desk together to prepare for a meeting. And you're just kind of just all of a sudden eating the candy bar or the snack pack or whatever. So look at what is going on and look at sitting down and even taking, you know, maybe it's blocking out 5 minutes between meetings so you can actually sit down and eat without interruption. And again, going back to tasting, smelling, seeing the texture, the color, what different flavors are in that food, and just becoming more conscious. And it takes a little bit more scheduling, and this is where you need to start taking some planning, and this is a lot of where the self-care comes in, is that overscheduled, haphazard, and you have a typically to eat what is fast, and that's usually leaning towards the junk food and less and further away from the whole nutrient-dense foods that has the nutrients to help you with the energy and the stamina for the overscheduled life that you are leading. You kind of let that go. Am I continuing to make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one is the refuse not unconscious eater. And that's the presence of food, especially candy jars, food served at meetings. Again, going back at the lunch meetings, you know, you might not be hungry, but the food is there. Buffets also. And that would go also with the next step, waste not unconscious eater, trigger-free food, all-you-can-eat buffets. And then the two go hand in hand. The refuse not unconscious eater and the waste not unconscious eater. And, you know, staff meetings or if you are having parties and you're attending parties and there's free food there, the food is being served, and kind of look at, you just kind of go there without even paying attention if you're hungry or not. Another thing, too, is looking at, and this goes back to triggering of uncomfortable emotions. Let's say you are at a banquet, let's say, or a fundraiser, or you're offering, if you are into an evening of Pampered Chef, Tupperware, Tastefully Simple party, or whatever it may be, but you're there and there's food there, and you're really not hungry. But you don't want to make the host feel bad. So then you choose to eat something just so you're not making the person feel bad. So look at the choices there. Look at your emotions and seeing what you can say. You know, to be perfectly honest and say, I'm really not hungry. I'm trying not, you know, in a little while I may be and I would love to try that, but I'm just not hungry. And to be honest with yourself, and to still be pleasant. Another thing is when we're at these fundraiser banquets or whatever that you may go to, and you may feel uncomfortable just standing there without having anything in your plate. So what do we typically do is we go and grab a plate, we fill it up with the appetizers that are available, then we start to socialize, and what happens is really typically we're uncomfortable making that eye contact. And so when we have something busy to do with our hands and putting food in our mouth, it just helps us feel more comfortable in the presence of other people that we are around, that aren't maybe close friends or, I'm thinking more business-orientated type things. And it's very interesting. Or Christmas parties or is another trigger point where we kind of eat just because. And we don't feel comfortable standing by ourselves with our hands to our side, chatting with and conversing with other people. And it's a comfort level to have something to do with our hands and to be eating. So pay attention to you know, how you are in groups of people where there is food. Are you eating just because it's a little bit more comforting? Oh, let's, you know, you kind of tell yourself, oh, let's just go look at the appetizers, let's just go grab a bite, and you may not even be hungry for it, but you don't want to just be without nothing in your hands if that feels more uncomfortable. So kind of pay attention to, that's another triggers, is this group settings and without food and how that feels. And you can test it out. It's interesting how you, what you may notice. The next is the careful eater. Your trigger is fitness, health, appears to be the perfect eater, agonizes over each morsel. They are the ones that are probably counting their points, counting calories, making sure they're not eating anything that does not have preservatives or additives, or they might be more vegetarian, not that vegetarian's bad or anything, but they might be extremely careful, and they might look at if they're having meat, is it red, or is it, you know, lean meat, is it just really agonizing over every single morsel and how much, and you know, and you know, does it have too much sodium in it, or whatever it may be. So then you take the fun out of eating and enjoying food, and you go back into that worry phase and that agonizing phase and that anxiety, and again you lose the joy. And you lose that connection of body, mind, and spirit of, you know, honoring and respecting the body and just eating just for the joy of in the food that is available or the choices you make and really tasting them and having fun with them. And, you know, maybe the perfect eater, then you're not allowing yourself to enjoy some of the other tasty foods, and you have that all-or-nothing attitude towards that. And just how that plays a role in havoc on the mind and body. Then there's the professional dieter, and the trigger is feeling fat. Perpetually dieting, often tries the latest commercial diet or diet book. And again, that is, you know, what's going on with your life? What is, you know, how do you really feel? Because fat is not a feeling. You know, sad, mad, glad, depressed, stressed. You know, lots of feelings, but I've never seen fat as an emotion. So really there, you're looking at what is triggering the emotion of you saying, in quotations, feeling fat, because feeling fat is not a feeling. But what's underneath the feeling of fat, uncomfortable in my own skin, feeling a sense of low self-esteem, lack of confidence, feeling a sense of overwhelm, those are what you're going to look at and see what those triggers are that is making you want to go towards the diet. And it all goes back to the very first weeks that we were in the program, is what is your big why? What's your bigger picture? Because losing weight is not motivating enough. You need to know your bigger why. You need to know what your values are around being healthier, living a healthy life, values around exercise, values around taking care of yourself on a personal level and taking care of your body. And so when you look at that, then the feelings of fat will slowly decrease over time. And you're just learning to take in different perception, looking things in a different way. And but if you get to that point where that one day you just go, God, I feel so fat. What? Ugh. These are, and you just all of a sudden are looking at all the things that are going wrong. Take a step back and go, what happened during my day? Was it overwhelmed? Was it overscheduled? Did an unexpected thing happen? There's always trigger points, actually, that leads to where we say, I feel fat. It's never about, because fat is not a feeling, so you got to look at the emotions and what is happening. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that's very important to point out, is fat is not a feeling, and you need to look beyond that, underneath it, and see what's really going on, because then you'll find your answers. and break away from that diet, the thoughts of going on another diet or finding a diet book or trying to find a program that you can, you know, work into your life for 6 weeks to lose 10 pounds, whatever, just, you know, getting away. So type of eaters are the intuitive eater, the emotional unconscious eater, the unconscious eater, chaotic unconscious eater, refuse not unconscious eater, waste not unconscious eater, careful eater, and professional dieter. So as you can see, over the ones that I've listed, a lot of it is unconscious issues. And the more we ask our questions and look into what foods we're choosing, what emotions are surrounding us, and are we eating when we're not hungry, what is that all about, and becoming more aware, becoming more conscious, because then we're going to make the better choices. And there's where we become more of the intuitive eater, being respectful of us, ourselves. Okay, any questions?
Nope.
Okay.
That's why I saw myself, though, in more than one category, because there's unconscious in more than one category. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very much so. So that is, but if you can look at where you kind of are and what your triggers are, then you have your step further ahead and you can start using tools to break away from that. Typically, I see a lot of emotional eating and overscheduled, chaotic. And chaotic unconscious eating is a lot of, you know, skipping meals, just too busy. And let's see. And then as I work with my clients, I see more and more of the eating while doing something else, especially during your lunch hours is what I find. A little bit of everything, but those are the main ones. So hopefully I've given you some strategies to first recognize the triggers and what they are, examples of what they may be, and some strategies to prevent or help yourself move past that. You know, the all-you-can-eat buffets, you know, look at that free food and see what that's all about. Because sometimes, you know, one example that I will say is it, you know, what can, you know, I paid so much, I'm going to eat as much as I can to get every dollar's worth of food. And then I will, you know, counteract that and says, well, how much are you paying to lose the weight? And so when you look at it that way, you know, again, your perception changes. If you look at it as, I just can't help myself, I feel like I got to have the plate full, then you start asking yourself choices. And having, instead of a full scoop, maybe it's a bite or it's a half a serving, and seeing how, you know, what's nice about buffets is the choices. So look at what your favorite ones are and look at, so if you're typically, you know, enjoy some of these other dishes, you might not want the salad, so you have room in your stomach to enjoy the other favorite dishes, the other vegetable options or the other meat options. And then if there's a nice dessert available at the buffet, again, saving room for the buffet rather than filling up and then stuffing yourself with the last, the desserts. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So another ideas of how to work through around the free food, the meals served at the meetings, also ask yourself if you're hungry or not, and what are some of your better choices, and to eat something so that at least on your hungry, not going to starvation, your zeros or your ones. Fantastic. So one thing I want to share with everyone in closing is that everyone was emailed a course evaluation, so please fill that out and send that email that back to me in the next few days. That would be fantastic. Also, now that you have completed the 10-week course, you are now in the alumni phase. And everyone that is gone through the live 10-week course, now when I offer it again, you will be able to have the option of joining in on the class at no additional cost. It's free to you for the rest of the times I offer this. And I know one of the two people have joined this class, and they've just been listening to the audios, and at no additional charge, they did the first class in last fall, and they're emailing me back and forth of what they're getting benefits of, and I did change some of the classes up, so there's always a fresh class here or there during each session, so it's always not exactly the same. The more I learn, the more I think would be more value to the class, then I start putting it into the course. So the course is not always the exact same every year, every time. So a lot to share, everyone, that you are now alumni, and if you want to do this course again, you get to do it again at no additional cost. So, but I don't just send this out e-blast to everybody. You do have to sign up and let me know. And I thought I just want to congratulate everyone for emailing me, sharing your updates, using the free open gym coaching hours, and letting me help progress you through the 10 weeks so that you have that strong foundation and you are ready and set to go and continue to move forward, because this is now you're on a path that will lead you to the destination you are looking for. So enjoy the journey. And I feel that all of you are, so I want to thank you. Also, if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, please let me know as soon as possible, because I will hold a discount only for a short time for my alumni for continuing on one-on-one coaching. So let me know about that. And that is all. Congratulations. And I look forward to keeping in touch with each and every one of you. Well, fantastic job. It has been a true pleasure
in
helping you. Thank you. And Yvonne, if you want to call me back right after this class, why don't you just give me a call at 218-846-1525.
Okay. I'll do
that. All right. Have a fantastic day, everyone. Bye-bye.